Happy 4th of July, everybody. 250 years as a country, huh? It's pretty wild. Pretty neat. Thank you all for the worship. The worship time, very good. I was actually drawn to the last song this morning. The guy who wrote it, it was after his four daughters died at sea. He was on the way across the ocean to get with his wife, who survived, and they went past that place in the ocean. He wrote that song while his ship was continuing on to the other side. So, a little background to what we were singing about and the faith of a Christian man. Okay. So today, I'd like to talk about, it's related to that, that's why I was looking into it, about the giver of rest, especially for our souls. So let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord. Perhaps there aren't many of us here tonight, with it being the 4th of July. We do look to this day, Lord, those many years ago, 250, when this nation was created. May it continue indeed, Lord, to be under God. May you inspire us. May you, Lord, intervene. May you, Lord, speak your word, which does not return empty, but it accomplishes what you want it to do, what you say for it to do. May you speak your word, Lord, about this nation. May you draw things to yourself which honor and glorify you. May we be lifted up, Lord, and continue to look to you over all. To you, Lord, beyond the political parties, beyond the rulers and the principalities of this age. And may you, Lord, come against any of the spiritual principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. May you bind them, Lord, and cause your kingdom to come and your will to be done in this nation, Lord, and in the nations of your creation. Thank you, Lord, that you know all the details. You know how you move things toward resolution, toward the ends that you have predestined. May we give you the glory, Lord. May we remember you are behind it all, and that you do, Lord, give your beloved rest. And thank you for the rest, the depth of rest that keeps us and strengthens us and gives us those things that are good to be thinking about you. May your kingdom come, Lord. May your will be done. We do lift up Bob Zaws today, Lord, that he continue to recuperate and do better. Thank you, Lord, that you care about each of us for health, for wisdom, for life, for the things of love, for children, for parents, for grandparents, and for celebrations like this day of this nation. May we honor and glorify you, Lord Jesus, and may you be glorified, Lord, now in this time of preparation of our hearts for communion. Communion, Lord, so important to do regularly, to remember you, Lord, and what you have done for us. May it be a regular thing in each of our lives, May we grow in your word, grow in following you, and grow in things of life, which are of you. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray to God the Father, who hears our prayers and responds perfectly. Amen. Amen. All right. Rest, the giver of rest, especially of our souls. Rest is sometimes elusive. Our lives tend to be quite busy. There are times when I feel that if I am not busy, I should be. Psalm 116 was the inspiration of this message. The psalmist writes of his soul being troubled and sorrowful. This psalm is attributed to David, whose king, Saul, pursued him to kill him. He would not come against his king, but honored the king's position, though Saul sought to kill him for no valid, no good reason. For specifics, I recommend you read 1 Samuel, starting at chapter 18, to read of Saul and his army's pursuit of David in order to kill him, and how David honored Saul, but Saul did not honor David. Saul was bent on taking David's life, and in this evil pursued him with his army. He really meant it, and had priests killed who helped David. It can be easy for us to read this as some story, like reading literature, but David was truly hiding for his life. Let's picture ourselves in his shoes, fleeing for his life from the king he wanted to honor, as we read this psalm. Now let's read Psalm 116 as David lifts up the Lord's name in his situation. So please, everyone, turn to Psalm 116. Please follow along in your Bible, as I found an interesting direct translation of the Hebrew in a Jewish text that I'd like to read, and you can follow that, I think, as it goes along, but it adds some interesting additions or ways of viewing things. Psalm 116, I love the Eternal One for hearing my voice, my pleas, for turning an ear to me whenever I call. The bonds of death encompassed me. The torments of Sheol overtook me. I came upon trouble and sorrow, and I invoked God's name. O Eternal One, save my life. God is gracious and beneficent. Our God is compassionate. God protects the simple. I was saved after having been brought low. Be at rest once again, O my soul, for God has been good to you. You have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before God in the land of the living. I trust in God. Out of great suffering I spoke and said rashly, all people are false. How can I repay God for the bounty given to me? I raise up the cup of deliverance, and I invoke God's name. I will pay my vows to God in the presence of all those assembled. The death of God's faithful ones is grievous in God's sight. O Eternal One, I am your servant, the child of your maidservant. You have undone the cord that bound me. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and invoke God's name. I will pay my vows to God in the presence of all these assembled. In the courts of God's house, in the midst of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Thus ends Psalm 116. Let's take a deeper look at this psalm. The first two verses summarize the current state of the psalmist, an attitude of praise, of thankfulness. He expresses his love of the Lord, the Eternal One, for hearing him, his pleas. The Lord turned a listening ear to him and did so whenever he called. Ah, but it had not been that way for the psalmist in the recent past. He vividly described where he was. Verse 3, the bonds of death compassed me. The torments of Sheol overtook me. I came upon trouble and sorrow. Let's pause and consider the situation. David was a fugitive, literally running for his life from King Saul and his army of hundreds. Death and the grave were very real possibilities. And though David was quite a military champion, remember Goliath, he was not motivated to fight against the Lord's anointed, King Saul. What extreme anguish, trouble, and sorrow. What could he do? Verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. I invoked God's name, O Eternal One, save my life. Then he remembered who the Lord is. The Lord is gracious, beneficent. Our God is compassionate. The Lord God protects the simple, as the psalmist writes in verse 6. I was saved after having been brought low. He remembered who the Lord is, his qualities of grace and compassion and protection. This realization, this remembrance of who the Lord God is, prompted the psalmist to speak to his own soul. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord our God has been good to you. This verse so resonated with me that it was what led me to speak on this topic of rest. The Lord our God has dealt bountifully with you, O my soul. So remember him, O my soul, and return from thoughts, from overwhelming ways of trouble, of sorrow and torment, to a state of rest, of remembering the ways of the Lord. How has the Lord been good to the psalmist? Verse 8, you, he said to the Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Deliverance from death, deliverance from sorrow, deliverance from sin. Our deliverer has done it. What does the psalmist then write? He writes of his plans going forward. Verse 9, I shall walk before God in the lands of the living. The Lord is the Lord of life, eternal life. In verse 12, the psalmist asks, how can I repay God for all the bounties given to me? And he says, in the next verse, I raise the cup of deliverance and invoke, I call on the name of the Lord. The cup of deliverance, of salvation, was a prevalent custom under the law. The psalmist raised in thanksgiving to the Lord, invoking his name. It was a symbol of deliverance from Egyptian slavery, a holy libation. This practice celebrated the name of God. Psalm 50, verse 15 reads, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and after deliverance, glorify me." The psalmist in Psalm 116 does not forget to glorify God after deliverance, as some might. But per verse 14, he pays his vows in the sanctuary of the faithful, the sanctuary alone being the place where sacrifices could be offered. The psalmist then transitions to God's providential care for the godly. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Hebrew word for precious is also translated rare, splendid, prized, valuable. And as translated as what I read from the Hebrew directly, it's translated grievous. The psalmist reminds us of how the Lord God views the death of his saints as valuable, prized, precious, rare, weighty, splendid, costly, highly valued, and even grievous to our compassionate Lord. The psalmist points out that God will eventually manifest how dear our souls are to him. Verse 16, the psalmist is God's servant whose fetters have been broken. The Lord God has set him free, free to sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, calling upon the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't have Bob here saying amen over on the side. Hopefully he's back soon. Now let us turn to related scripture in the New Testament. Please turn to Matthew chapter 11. Okay, I'm going to be reading starting in verse 25. This is a familiar passage for many, I think. Starting in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The amazing word of the Lord. Verse 25 and 26 that we just read. The Lord reveals things to the simple-minded, the unskilled, to the babes. Related to revealing, the Father God reveals to God the Son all things. The Father and the Son uniquely know each other, and the Son delivers things to whomever he chooses to reveal. Verses 28 to 30 then point out the Son's willingness to give rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Thinking of Psalm 116, the psalmist was heavy laden by the snares which encompassed him. In verse 3, it's discussed. The psalmist cried out to the Lord in verse 4, deliver, deliver my soul. Come unto him, the Lord. He is Lord, who delivers those who labor and are heavy laden. And I, said Jesus the Christ, will give you rest. Psalm 116, verses 5 and 6 said, gracious is the Lord, righteous, merciful, preserving the simple, saving. Matthew 11:29, take up my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your souls. Psalm 116, verse 7, return to your rest, O my soul. Jesus Christ makes it so that we have rest, eternal rest for our souls. Return to your rest, O my soul. Keep the Lord in mind. He is our rest. Psalm 116, verse 8 says, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Jesus Christ saves our souls eternally from death. The Lord promises to wipe away every tear and to forgive all of our stumbling. And verse 30 in Matthew 11 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. O Lord, you have loosed my bonds. The oppressive, this is in Psalm 116, you have loosed my bonds. The oppressive yoke, the cords of death have been loosed. Per verse 16 in Psalm 116. The ultimate yoke of oppression is our sin, which weighs us down mightily. The psalmist drinks the cup of deliverance, the cup of salvation, per the Psalm 116, verse 13. Jesus provides the ultimate deliverance, the ultimate salvation, by drinking the cup of God's wrath against sin, all sin of those who believe he is who he is, and that he is who he said he was. All those who believe that, he drank the wrath, God's wrath, against all of that sin. He bore the heavy yoke of all that sin, which none other could do. For only the perfect person, fully God, fully man, could do that. And all for our sakes. Therefore, our yoke is easy. And our burden is light, because he took on the heavy work. The burden and yoke that he asks us to take is simply to believe in him and in what he has accomplished. We are called to abide in him as a branch abides in a vine, and in his word, including his new commandment to love one another. He lifted up the standard to not just love one another, but to love as he loved us. Such love, so perfect and true, is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Such love, so pure. Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," he said, "for I am humble and lowly of estate, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden," he said, "is light." Because Jesus Christ took the heavy yoke, his yoke for us is easy, meaning, from that word in the Hebrew, kind or well-fitting. We appreciate that he took the cup of God's wrath as we participate in the sacrament of communion. Thankfully receiving the communion elements of cup and bread, remembering what he said from Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, he said, "He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup in the new covenant is my blood, which is poured out for you.'" The word of the Lord. All who have received Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, the one who gives eternal rest for our souls, please partake of communion. If not, please wait. And may the Lord God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit inspire you to come to him, Jesus the Christ, and find the eternal rest for your soul. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the giver of rest. Thank you for giving David rest in that very difficult situation that's recorded in your word. Thank you, Lord, for his attitude that we can mimic, and may we do so, Lord, of things of life, things of even speaking to our own soul to say, "Resume your rest, O my soul, for the Lord is good and the Lord prevails." How great that is, Lord, to know. And Lord Jesus Christ, you, the Son of David and the Lord of David, you, Lord, said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Thank you, Lord, for the rest that you give, the rest of our souls, the depth of it, the peace of it. May we, Lord, embrace it and remember when things aren't going so well, your goodness and how you have kept us and how much you care, how compassionate you are about us. May we revel in that, Lord, and in the privilege of taking communion today. Lord, may we remember the things that I have spoken that are of you and your word, and not remember those things which are not. And I pray each person to be strong in you and the power of your might, and those who are taking communion, Lord, to be wise in you, thankful to you, and resting in you as you bring things to mind, Lord, of your peace and your rest. We love you, Lord, and we need you so. We are indeed desperate, moment by moment, for your guidance, for your keeping us, for your going before us. May you do so, Lord Jesus. I pray in your name to God the Father. Praise you, praise you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.